All right, we're back to try this shit again.
Yay.
Hopefully, yay. Oh. Jack and I were just talking off the air as we... The last pod... Normally, it's an internet issue or whatever. Like, perhaps by the end of this pod, we'll start having internet issues because everyone in my house will be home by then. And they fucking just stream 24/7, both of them. But the issue the last time is it cut out and it seems like it's internet. And I kind of go in and Jack can't hear me, but I can hear him. And I go into my settings and my settings were completely reset by Skype, on Skype, while we were on the call. It shut my microphone off. And then wouldn't let me do it. And then when I hit Jack, it did the same thing to him. It was really weird.
Yeah, we can't figure that one out. Did you finish your death list?
No, I was right in the middle of it. So
no, I didn't know if you finished it without me or not.
No.
We never got – I know we weren't even halfway through, I don't think.
I was so disgusted that I just stopped the show and said, fuck this. I'll do it later. So I stopped in the middle. So now we're 2 months into the year. We're not done with the death list.
Oh, yeah, it took us a while this year.
Oh, man. I don't think anyone on my list has died, so.
No, that poor soap opera actor died.
Well, I didn't see that. I slept all day, so I didn't see.
It was yesterday, but or over the weekend he died. It was kind of a sad story. I think it was alcohol poisoning.
Ooh.
But apparently his son had killed himself 5 years ago, and he never really got over it. And they were saying he's you know.
Wow.
He's been in ever since. So it was kind of a bummer. He was only 50-some years old, although I can't think of his name right now. But you'd know him if you saw him because the dude was on soap operas his entire life.
Oh, like every soap opera ever?
Or just the same one. I think it's one of those things run for...
Yeah. Well, there's a couple that are still on. Like one that I know of.
He's on one that's still on.
Wow, that does suck. But let's recap. I'll go through what I got through on the last show, and then I'll finish the list. I literally was right in the middle. I had Mel Brooks. I had Sidney Poitier. I had Sean Connery, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Kevin Spacey, John Schneider, who I love, Elon Musk, and Louis Anderson were on my...
And I posted this today. Did you see the dude from Scrubs, the one who was the... the accounting guy,
he's
kind of, his real name is Sam Lloyd, is diagnosed with lung cancer and a brain tumor. It does not look good for him, which is sad.
Yeah, that means at one point he had either lung cancer or a brain tumor and it spread. And that's when we got, excellent cancer news. If there is such a thing for a good friend of ours, diagnosed with breast cancer, and they went in, and today they found out it had not spread. It had not gone to lymph nodes, had not gone anywhere. So that was actually really good news, and they're doing the surgery this week, and she's going to hopefully completely recover.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, because that shit doesn't happen.
No. The soap opera actor's name was Christoph St. John, and he was on The Young and the Restless.
Oh, man. I know that name. God, I know
that.
I have to look at him.
I don't watch soap operas, and I recognize the dude as, from flipping through the channels, because he's been on soap operas for, his whole life.
Yeah, I think also throughout my radio career, I've had enough of those guys on.
Right, that's true, too.
You know what I mean? Where you've had them on, and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, because people are really into soap operas. Yeah, I recognize it. I'm with you. I recognize the guy, too.
Yeah, when I saw him, I was like, oh, that guy. I mean, I would have never known his name, but I knew he was on soap operas.
Yeah, that's horrible. In the San Fernando Valley, that's where he lived.
Yep.
Wow. That is sad.
Yeah, so I think that was the only celebrity death since we started the list, and he was not on our list.
Yeah, not on our list. So here is the second half of my list. And I know I've had this person on before, but damn it, she's not going to zha-zha me. This woman is going to die sooner or later, and that is Angela Lansbury. She's dying.
Yeah, she's, what is she, 90-something?
Yeah. Yeah, she is. I think she's like 93 or 94. She's old, so she is definitely going to go sooner rather than later. On that same note, Jimmy Carter, after seeing him when I was watching the conspiracy video weirdness that I watched, he's
didn't he survive cancer too?
Yeah, and he's like, and he's also fucking 90 something, so he's tick tick yeah, tick on Jimmy old, Carter.
Old and just had cancer, so yeah, I'm with you. That's a safe bet.
Okay, and then I have did you have Shatner? Did you put Shatner on?
I think
on?
I did.
Okay, so then
I don't know where
I saw him on something this week, and I was like, holy fuck, he's getting old. So or not this week, but like the week I wrote this, I saw him on something, and I'm like, holy fuck, he looks really bad. I got some Shatner on. Sorry, we got Shatner covered.
On mine too. Yeah. I was like, God, he tore up.
He's also he's old, so that's one thing. But he's, it's not that he's fat, but he's puffy, like alcoholic puffy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean about that? About that? That there's an alcohol puffiness when you're an alcoholic, especially in your face, that you get a lot of times that I see, and I sort of spotted that with him, which could be totally wrong. He could just be fat and carries weight in his face, but.
And bad plastic surgery. He might be fat with plastic surgery, which makes him look weird too.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not outing him as an alcoholic. I'm just saying, in my opinion, I threw that into the equation. I'm like, he looks a little drinky puffy. This is a person you may know, Jack, but most people will not. Eric Von Daniken. Do you know who that is?
No, who is that?
Okay, you'll know when I tell you. Eric Von Daniken is considered like the godfather of the UFO ancient alien movement in the world. He's a guy, and you see him on that show, and I know who he is because I love that show, Ancient Aliens, and I watch it all the time. But he wrote a book. He was like in Sweden or Switzerland or somewhere like that, and he was a young man, and he wrote a book called Chariots to the Gods.
Oh, I read that book.
Okay, that's the book. He wrote that book, and it really, what was so crazy about that book is it made people just rethink, like, wow, this is an interesting theory that no one's ever thrown out there. His theory was basically aliens seeded the Earth. And
been here throughout history and draws all these historical references that he attributes to aliens.
Yeah, and also the pyramids, they think probably way older than we think they are. And he just has, it wasn't
even
like
Noah's flood. He was like, that was alien wiping out a mistake.
And the gods, the Greek gods, they were like, they were aliens. Like, all of this comes from him. And anyway, he's on that show all the time, and he's written a bunch of books, and he's lectured all around the world. And back in the day, do you know he used to go on Carson all the time? Carson would have him on, and he would talk about the book. I saw him on an old episode the other day, and it was, wow, and he was so young. But now he's very old and fat, and I'm thinking he's going to get taken to the UFO in the sky soon.
Yeah, he's got to be old. I read that book, I want to say, in the early 80s or something. When did that
thing? I think it was in the 70s. It was during the 70s when he wrote that book, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, but a cool, interesting guy. And what's so awesome about it is he was like a concierge at a fancy hotel. You know what I mean? He wasn't some academic or some professor or anything like that. And he would save his money every year and travel the world to these spots where he would make his theories. And he was just, he thought about it. It was really cool. But he's the guy that kind of started that whole ancient alien movement. And I think he's going soon. Okay, this guy's going too. Bob Barker. Still alive.
Yes. He also, didn't he survive cancer or something recently?
That I don't know. I just, I don't know. You know why I put him on the list? At some point during the holidays, one of the Happy Gilmore came on or something, a Sandler movie. And I was like, oh shit, Bob Barker, he's on the death list. That's what it is. These people are out of sight, out of mind. And a lot of them you already just assume are dead, and then you see them on something, and then you're like, whoa, I didn't know they were still alive.
No, for sure.
Okay, this one I like a lot is Les Moonves.
Yeah, he's got a lot of the contributing factors. I'll give you that.
And the stress that guy's got to be under, and he just lost that court case. He was owed like a $200 million parachute when they fired him, and he lost because he breached the contract, so he got nothing when he got fired. Oof.
Yeah, that one, I'm with you. That's a good call.
All right, the queen is going to go.
Yes. Well, and her husband.
God, it's almost like they're zombies. Like, there's no way those two old-ass people are still alive.
He just crashed and flipped that car, remember, over the holidays?
That's right. What the fuck was he doing driving?
I have no idea. He's like 90-something, and he crashed and flipped his Range Rover or whatever the hell it was.
And he fucked some people up, too, because I've seen interviews of the victims, they call it. The victims of Prince Philip's crash.
Yep.
All right. Patti LaBelle.
I didn't even know she was still alive. Yeah. So that's a good one.
Patti LaBelle. I put Roseanne down because another stressful year, another, I know, former addict, another, you know, a lot of stuff with her. Overweight, and then just losing your show, being shamed like she was in public, that's got to kill you.
Crazy, so you never know what she's up to. That's a good one.
I will come back to her in a moment. Also, Roger Staubach, yeah, he was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, old football player.
Okay.
Another guy I saw on something, and it made me think of it. And then,
list.
Yep, Michael Caine. Michael Caine's getting there. And then you may have had two, and I know has made this list multiple times and refuses to die, and that is the oldest living actor on the planet, Kirk Douglas. He's 100 and something.
Yeah, that guy's crazy old.
Yeah, survived strokes, like everything. He's can't kill Kirk Douglas. I mean, Michael Douglas is old as fuck. Kirk Douglas is his dad and is still alive.
Right.
My God, Michael survived cancer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so here's Kirk still kicking. But, yeah, that's the list. That is everyone I have.
I like it.
Here, back to Roseanne. Did I talk about Roseanne used to live in the house where I work? Did I tell you how I've discovered all this stuff?
I think you mentioned that when you were doing your ghost research.
Okay, here's what's crazy. The ghost stuff there's been some incredible things that have happened in the last few weeks. The house is extremely active. And what's weird is we have three houses in a row. Only one has anything to do with a ghost. The other two are completely normal houses that are fine. And it's the big one that has the ghost in it. All right. Well, I have had in the last month out of the blue, like clients come to me that had lived in the big house and tell me, you know, there's a ghost here. And I'm like, yeah, you're crazy. There's no such thing as a ghost. Because that's what you really have to do, especially if you're dealing with people who are in there for, you know, anxiety or depression or something like that. And now you're going to tell them, yeah, there's a fucking ghost in your bedroom. Slams doors and throws shit around. So you have to deny, deny, deny. So I've had that happen twice. Now, we have one house, and it is our sober living house, and it's at the furthest end of the property. It was just acquired in the last year or two. It was a neighbor's house, and it's one of the original properties in the area. It is a one-story, three-bedroom. Shit, it's not even a three-bedroom. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath house. It's tiny.
It's a small house over there.
And it sits on like 2.5 acres of land on the cliff. It's crazy how tiny this little tiny house is. And so it's over there. Well, we acquired that and made that our sober living house. So people, once they're done, they can transition over there. And that's the cool house to work at because there's not regulation on that. It's sober living. They're kind of on their own. You're just there to supervise and there if they need you. You don't have to watch them as much. They can come and go and that kind of stuff. So I've been over there some lately. And I was over there night before last. And I'm working and there's a girl who had been at the big house for 60, 90 days. She was there for a very long time. And sweet girl. Very, very nice girl. And I know her well because I'm in that house most of the time. She comes up to me and she said, you know, I really liked it when I first got over here. It was just real peaceful and the vibe was totally different and I liked it. She goes, but now that ghost is over here. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? She goes, there's a ghost in that house. And I'm like, what house? I've never heard that before, but which is true. I've never heard of anything in either of the other, well, one time in one of the other houses, but this house I've never heard, not a peep, nothing. It's this tiny little quiet house. And she says, no, it's a girl And it's always a girl. And when everyone sees it, it's a girl with dark hair, long, dark hair. She's young, in her 20s, and she's there. She says, it's a girl, and she used to be, I would see her sometimes at the other house, and now I caught her in my room going through my stuff. I go, what the fuck are you talking about? And she goes, it's weird. I don't think she means any harm. She goes, I think she likes me. So at this point, and then this is, you know, granted, we would never acknowledge to a client that there's any type of thing like that going on. So for her to say this and to tell me, and then to tell me what it looks like, and it's like in my head, I'm like, holy shit, this is crazy. But I've had this conversation, and now for the last two nights, I have had to stay up talking to this girl for a good hour or more till she goes to sleep, because she's been a little spooked. But
but is that a ghost thing that they go from house to house?
They can attach to people. So
is this woman going to be haunted for the rest of her life?
No, I think here's what I'm starting to think now in watching this, and I am the Eric Von Daniken of ghosts. I have no formal training or education. I have theories, and my theory is that typically ghosts are bound to a person, object, or a place. And they're there at that place, and they usually can't leave. And I know of stories where there was a house that was haunted, but the ghost was the original owner, and the ghost only was in the original rooms. The house had been added onto and made very big, and the ghost would never leave the original three or four rooms of the house because that was like where it was. So it was bound obviously to the house. So I've assumed this person was attached to the house, and it had to be someone who lived there, that died there, whatever. And now I'm starting to think more and more, this could be an old client that for whatever reason has come back, didn't die there, but may have. We have clients kill themselves. We have clients, especially in that house. So you're dealing with the mental health house. You know, people go home and commit suicide. People overdose by a lot of accidental overdoses after people leave. So there is a chance. I don't know why it's there. But then, so say you're there and you're a 20-something-year-old ghost wandering the halls of this big-ass house.
Right.
It's like, does she want a friend? Did she like this girl? Because this girl was there. This girl's right in her age range. Everyone that sees her says she's a 20-something-year-old girl. And one person said she sees her smoking between the houses, which is kind of where, if you were a client, you would have to smoke.
Okay.
So more and more my theory is becoming this is a former client who is just kind of roaming the property. And at that point, if you were a client and you're bound to the place, you could roam the property because you know,
but
at your time.
But you said the other house is new. That wouldn't have been there when she was there.
I don't know who this person is. I don't know how long. We've had it for like 2 years. I honestly don't know how long this person's been.
Oh, it could be that recent?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like new, like you guys just got it. No.
We just acquired it. It's been there. It's been there for a while, but we took it over a couple years ago and made it into a sober living house. So it wasn't part of the, and then knocked the wall down and extended it out. So it could be in the last couple years. It could be freaking client. Like, I don't, and we're not that old of a business. Like, I think the first house opened in 2012 is when we came into existence. So, weird, more theories on that. And it was, I don't know. I still find it fascinating, but I still have said nothing to this client, and she's leaving Friday. So, but I'm going to continue to milk her next time I see her.
It'll be interesting to see what happens when she leaves.
Yeah, but what's weird is
at which house, and you know.
Well, I believe it always goes back to because there's almost always shit in the big house, the main house.
Okay.
Almost always stuff in there, so it could just be, you know, walking around, coming back and forth, popping between. And right now in the sober living house, there are three girls, all in their 20s.
Okay.
And I only talked to the one. I don't know the other two. Typically, what's awesome about my shift, I get there, they're asleep. I go home, they're still asleep. That's like the best day I could ever have. But this one's been a little spooked, so she's been up at night, and I've been over there. And for whatever reason, I ended up there the last two nights in a row. So I have been talking with her the last couple nights.
Huh.
And then speaking of having nothing to do in the middle of the night, especially in that house, I watched a fucking documentary last night that explained so much shit to me politically in the last, well, directly with Obama, I guess, but it's crazy. And I've never heard of this situation or this documentary or what happened. Have you ever heard of Zero Days? It's a documentary about a massive, massive computer virus that the United States government made and deployed into Iran, into their nuclear facility. And it was the United States, Great Britain, Israel. And they did it initially during the Bush administration. And apparently, as this you find out in this documentary, and what's I liked about this documentary was not some conspiracy theory going, this is this and this and this. They had former head of the CIA, former head of the NSA. They had people from all around the world in really high ranking government positions of, you know, secrecy and stuff like that. CIA people, CIA operatives. They had all kinds of people on this that were very legitimate.
How were they allowed to talk about it?
They're all former.
Okay.
And this is a known fact now, is how they're able to talk about it now. So.
Oh. Not like it's not classified anymore.
It is classified. They had tons of video of Obama going when the shit hit the fan and it came out that they had done this and the media was on Obama and Obama was like, well, that's and it came out through WikiLeaks. Some colonel gave that info to him and he put it out on WikiLeaks. So that's where it came from. Yeah. And then when that hit the fan, people started asking Obama in press conferences and he would say, I can't talk about that. That's classified info. And they're like, but it's on WikiLeaks and da 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 da. And then he would always spin it to, you know, anyone that gives classified information to WikiLeaks, it's still classified. And that person is going to be held accountable for distributing that information, and he would always spin it back to that motherfucker. And they arrested the guy, and then it was such a shit quagmire, they couldn't even prosecute him. Because if they prosecuted him, all of the truth would have come out, which was even worse. Yes, so they just let him go, the guy that leaked it. So the Bush administration has, and this is Iran's trying to make their nukes, and Israel is shitting themselves. And Israel's over there killing their scientists and doing everything they can do, trying to slow it down. And Israel basically tells Bush, fuck you, we're going in. And Bush is like, no. He just had the Iraq war blow up in his face and, you know, that weapons of mass destruction bullshit. And he couldn't have that. He was like, no, I'm not. And so he went to the advisors. They came up with this plan. And it was fucking genius. I mean, it's genius what they did. They made a super bug that, and a nuke facility isn't online, obviously, so you can't just go in and hack it. They had to put it into equipment. And it's funny, the way they got in is through the arrogance of that fucking, whatever his name is over in Iran, the guy that's the prime minister, not the Ayatollah Asahola, but the president of Iran.
That
little prick. Because he would walk through the nuclear facility and with video and show how great they were and blah, blah, blah. Well, they looked and they saw all the equipment they had in those videos. And then they realized they hacked. And this thing was done so precise that it would go into certain model numbers. They knew what model numbers they had of these machines. And so once the virus got in, it would find that machine and then implement itself into that machine, and it would change things, which I'll get into in a second, but then it would report to, like, there's a computer printout. Let's say you've got a 500 machines running, and you get printouts on them constantly, temperature, you know, speed, blah, 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 blah. All that would report normal, but it would really be deliberately fucking it up so that it would break down.
Right,
And then it had a button. There's a panic button that you hit in a nuke facility that shuts everything down because something's going wrong and you don't want a disaster to happen. Well, it overrode all of the panic buttons they had also, this virus, once it got in. And some person put it into, and they had to do it in Iran. They had a CIA operative put it into one of these machines, and then this fucking thing was there, and it was hiding, and it was brutal. And the crazy thing is it was fucking American virus people that caught it and exploited and exploded up in our own government. So this thing was in, and it was doing its job beautifully. And once they finally found it, they realized it had an end date on it, like the virus was going to end. You know, you can put a virus in, and they say most viruses go in to steal information or money. That's what they're created for, just to go in and get information and then send it back out. Well, this one would have been detected if it was sending anything out. So it just had to be put in, and then it ran itself, and then it would shut down on this date. And then they looked, and when they finally caught it, the shutdown date was like 4 or 5 days before Obama took office is when they made the thing turn off, because it was pretty fucking crazy what they were doing. But they would go in, and what it was doing was taking the centrifuges that they make, that they refine their uranium in. And I guess those things have to spin at a certain speed, and it's very precise. And if it spins over, the thing will start to rattle and come apart and break down. And if it spins too slow, it's not doing its job, and it will also blow apart. And it would make those things do that. And they had hundreds of those things going at a time. And all of a sudden, one would go out, boom, another would go out, boom, another would go out. And Iran was firing all their nuclear scientists because they were idiots and they couldn't fix the shit. And it was working perfectly and slowing them down so that they weren't able to develop it. Well, okay. Obama gets in, and whoever, NSA, CIA, whoever it is, tells them, hey, we've got this thing in there, and if you want, we can reopen it and do this. And Obama's like, cool. So, and apparently, in order to use a cyber weapon, the only two weapons in the world that the president has to authorize use of is a cyber weapon and a nuclear weapon. Anything else, other people can make that call. But, so Obama signs off on it, and they're doing it. Now, this is where it gets weird. I've always thought, remember, we've talked about it, was one of Trump's big things, that awful fucking horrible nuclear deal we cut with Iran, which was bad, which Obama cut. It's like, why the fuck did he do that? Well, this is why. Also, Obama was always kind of a dick to Israel. He was a dick to Israel. And Israel is a great ally of ours, and it was weird. Like, he never seemed warmed up to Israel at all. This is why. So Israel is starting to get antsy again. Obama's fired it back up. Israel's like on him, and they're talking. They're like, hey, just be patient. It's doing its job, and it can escalate, and they can have it do more stuff. But right now it's just slowing them down. They didn't want to blow the thing up and kill a bunch of people. They wanted to slow them down so they couldn't develop nukes. And at the time, we still had our hands full with Iraq and with Afghanistan, which we still do. But they couldn't do anything about it. So apparently Israel took it upon themselves to issue a 1.1 version and to fucking make it way more aggressive. And they implemented it, and then Iran caught it. And when they caught it, and Iran didn't catch it. There was a guy that caught it. He was a Russian computer nerd that worked for Iran. And he did it remotely. Whatever he did, he looked at their stuff. Well, he found it and, of course, turned it over to, apparently all computer nerds are a worldwide geek squad. Like, it doesn't matter if you're Russian, German, Chinese, whatever, they all talk. So he turned it over to these dudes in the United States that were Symantec, you know, the Symantec antiviral software? Those guys. Those guys are the ones that broke it down. So he turned it over to these guys. These guys started breaking this thing down, breaking it down, breaking it down, and they eventually realized it was created and it started ground zero. It started in Iran, and it started there, and then they did the math backwards. Who would design this? Da-da-da-da, and sure as shit, you red fucking handed. The United States is caught along with Israel in this one. Great Britain kind of... You knew they were involved, but they skated back. And then I guess after that happened, they say it was the worst thing ever because Iran now defends against it, so they can't do it again. And they know what happened, and they not only have they shorted up, but they beefed up their nuke program after that. And then Obama went in and cut that fucking deal with them. But that's why they had them by the balls. Think about this.
Right.
And in the documentary, they had this Iranian guy, and he goes, if Iran was found to have hacked a United States nuclear facility and started making your fucking, you know, your uranium shit explode, you would attack Iran within 24 hours.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's 100% true. That's an absolutely accurate statement. And then he said, right, if the United States found out that happened, and then they showed these commercials that they ran in Iran after that, and it was basically the young people saying, hey, the United States hacked our nuclear facility. They're trying to kill us. Join the whatever the name of their army is, but cyber version. And they said shitloads of kids signed up for it. And now they're one of the biggest hacker nations in the world, and they're highly advanced. And remember, they're the ones that captured our drone. Remember when they did that?
Oh, right.
Yeah, they hacked our fucking drone and landed it and stole it and reverse engineered it. They also, apparently right after we did this, they shut down all oil production in Saudi Arabia just to show that they could. And Saudi Arabia is our friend, and they assumed Saudi Arabia right. was in on it with us. So they shut down all oil production in Saudi Arabia through a hack. Like a similar, by the way, hack too. The way they put it in and the way the software worked, they did a very similar thing to Saudi Arabia. And they also hacked, then they went after the banks in the United States, and there was a huge hacking, and it made the news. They played news clips everywhere, but it was like Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and they showed Iran will hack non-military facilities, which are way easier to hack, and can still fuck up the United States or shut down our power grid or all the stuff they
right,
could do.
Right.
So that explains why Obama fucking does not like Israel. Because they fucked it up, and it blew up in his face, and it was early on in his pregnancy, in his presidency too, in the first, you know, two, three, or at least it was in the first term. And it's just such a crazy documentary. And when you look at it, you're like, we're fucking assholes. Like, if anybody did that to us, we would bomb the living shit out of them the next day.
Oh yeah, no, but that did, none of it shocks me, and it seemed like a brilliant plan. It's just.
They called it.
You're right.
I think they named it, and then the guys were all pissed. The government guys they talked to that worked on the project, they're like, and reporters would ask them, and the reporter doing the documentary would say, "Tell us." I think they called it the subtext virus, and they were like, "That's not what it's called. That's the name that those anti-virus guys gave it when they discovered it. That's not the name of it. Its name was Olympia something." So it had a name, and they get all pissed off when they renamed their virus because it was a beautiful creation. I mean, it was absolutely amazing what this thing could do, and how when it got in, it was almost like artificial intelligence too. The thing would change and do different shit. So if they started looking at one place, it would go over and do something else. It was an amazing piece of hack, and they say it's the first time any. Government has done anything that sophisticated. It's the biggest one ever, and we're the bastards that did it. So
yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but excellent documentary. Check it out. It's called Zero Days, and apparently that's the name. Most viruses start at, they have a start date or whatever.
And it's 0 days.
This one starts
whatever.
At 0 days. This one, the second it loads, it starts doing its own thing, and then it's off and running on its own. And they also found out that it got out of Iran and ended up in all kinds of other places. Like, it could have fucked up many other countries, you know, if it, getting out of there or onto another piece of equipment and da-da-da-da. It's, the whole thing was really, really bad, and we did it, and it was Bush 1 or Bush 2 and fucking Obama. They both ran with it and showed it. And they said that they would, when they tested it here at some nuke labs, and they showed what it did to the centrifuges. It basically exploded them. Just internally, they would disintegrate and blow up. And they said that they blew them all up, and then they brought them to the White House, and they dumped them on the room. They're like, this is what it'll do. And after Bush saw that, he's like, do it! Let's go! He was all gung-ho. And it would have worked if Israel hadn't got greedy, but Israel was very impatient because, right. You know, Iran wants to annihilate them and always spits out propaganda that they should wipe them off the face of the earth. So I understand the motives of everyone involved in this. And it's the first time ever that I would look at Iran and think, wow, we really fucked those guys over. Even though they're fucking crazy assholes that should not have nukes. But if they did that to us, we would have fucking annihilated them already.
Yep.
Oh, man. But it was a great documentary. I really liked it.
That sounds good. I'll have to check.
Yeah. I have right now, when I'm at that house, I have Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon at that house.
Oh, you got them all.
Yeah, I got all of them.
I've been on a mass murderer kick. I watched that thing on TV last weekend about the BTK killer, and then I've been watching the Ted Bundy thing.
Ooh,
on Netflix.
I saw the commercial for the BTK. I wanted to see that. That dude's the scariest serial killer to me outside of the Night Stalker. I think those are the two scariest ones to me.
No, and it was fascinating because it was based on a book his daughter wrote, and they would interview her, you know, because she's like growing up, she never knew he was the fucking BTK killer, and it was kind of crazy to think you lived your whole life with your dad being this horrific, crazed killer, and no one knew.
He was the guy that would basically break into a house, tie them up, and murder, torture the shit out of them in front of each other, and slowly kill them in front of each other.
Yep.
Did he rape, too, or did he just torture and kill?
He would get off on them being tied up. I don't know if he... They would find... This was on regular TV, so the details weren't as graphic as it would have been if it was a Netflix thing. Okay. But I know that they had DNA from one of the scenes where he basically tied these people up and then masturbate to it, you know?
Fuck.
No, I don't think he was actually raping them. He was creepy, and he had... I mean, like, he had kept souvenirs, so when they ultimately busted him, they found all his stash. So in this, you know, this house that this kid grew up in, her mom, and I think she had a brother or another sister or something, like, he had, all, you know, trophies from all the murders and all kinds of weird shit. It was
amazing. How did they finally get him? Because he was almost impossible to catch.
Because he's a fucking idiot. He wanted everybody to know it was him. Remember, he would write letters? Well, at one point, he asked them, he goes, if I send you a floppy disk, can you trace it? And they said, no, we can't trace it. So he sent them a floppy disk, and then they looked at where it was burned.
And then they traced it.
He did it at his church where he was the church leader at or whatever. And they, you know, said some guy named David did it at this church. And so then they look, you know, then they were able to figure out who he was. So
he gave his real name?
No, but it was on the disk.
Oh, okay. Oh, I get you. I was like, wait a minute.
He didn't understand computers, and he fucked up with the computer and gave them the break that they needed.
That's how Unabomber got caught, too, is being stupid and mailing, you know, Pac just trying to get credit for his bullshit.
If he hadn't done that, if he hadn't taken credit for those, they don't think they would have ever caught him.
Yeah, both of them.
They had no leads on him.
Oh, my God. The BTK, though, like, here is one of the things I remember reading, one of the murders, he tied up the family, and I don't know if it's the mom or the dad or one of the kids or whatever. He was taking a pair of pliers, pinching and ripping the skin off while they were tied.
I didn't get into that kind of graphic detail, but it was probably the first one that they give him credit for was a mom and two kids, and then the husband came home or something, and he had to kill him too.
What the fuck? Like, that's sick and crazy.
No, it was crazy, and it was, you know, it was also interesting. In all these documentaries that I've watched on serial killers, you never really hear anything from the family, so it was interesting to hear what his daughter had to say about the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, that is very, very interesting to find out your dad's an insane fucking serial killer. But what's weird about him is typically serial killers, they kill prostitutes. They have, like, they hated their mother or some woman's done something to them or whatever, or they target a certain race or certain whatever, and there's always a read. They always break it down to whatever. Rare does someone just kill entire families for sport.
Yeah, no. He didn't have a type. He liked to tie them up was the thing, but it didn't have to be any particular age or, you know, or type.
Yeah,
Ted Bundy type. Everybody, like, young girls with long, dark hair.
I came in last night when I started my shift. My little client was up watching that one, and I watched the end of that as that went on. Yeah, he still claimed he was innocent all the way up until the end when he finally fucking admitted it.
Yeah, he was. You could tell how crazy he was.
He was one, though, he was like a good-looking young guy. He would put a fake cast on and get women to help him and then just fucking club him, grab him, murder him.
just a monster, that guy. But no, interesting. Both of those were pretty interesting. And but that has been most of my Netflix viewing.
Yeah, the BTK one is terrifying. And then the Night Stalker is so terrifying because the guy would just randomly walk in, come to a house, break in, and just kill whoever was inside. It's the real random ones like that that I think scare me the most.
Yeah, because you can't put a finger. It could be anybody. You know, it's not like oh, he's only going after young girls. Not that that makes it okay, but then you're like, okay, we know what he, you know, like you're like, he could just bust into your house in the middle of the night and slaughter you.
Okay, I remember the Night Stalker when the one thing that broke out, they go, he's only goes to yellow houses, and our house was yellow. Oh, shit, paint the house!
I just remember it being the middle of the summer and sleeping with all the windows shut in the house, and we didn't have air conditioning. You know, like you couldn't, no one would leave their windows open anymore because he was coming in through open windows.
But he was all over Southern California. I mean, he was hitting or all around LA. I mean, he was covering all of LA.
Yep.
Jacking people. Ooh. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Those are scary. The you know who I'm over is Charlie Manson. That's fine. Sorry, he's dead. Let's move on. Granted, it was weird.
They've done enough movies and documentaries on him. I don't think there's anything new to learn. I watched not that long ago.
Yeah. Hey, we just had our first cutout, and I heard noise in my house. So what do you think that means?
So, the internet is starting to get used.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had a... good news today, I think. I got a callback on that one job, the horrible, awful job, which would be really, really good.
Okay.
Here's why. It's the school one. It's the college. Oh, okay. It's the college that my daughter wants to go to, a certain college. It's that college.
Okay.
It's a private university, and it's $65,000 a year.
Whew.
If you work there, your kids go for free.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So it's worth it for me to take a crappy job there. Also, you have school hours, like days, all those holidays, all that stuff. So it's a bad job with amazing, amazing benefits. And if you get in and it starts day one, no, like after you get vested 5 years in, like if the day you start, you can get free tuition and claim all the benefits of an employee there. So
that's awesome.
I can get it. If I can get in, I got, and they call me back for an interview today. So I will interview there. I can get in. And if I go, really only have to go for 2 years. If she doesn't get in, then I can, not even 2 years. It's a year and a half. Cause you'll know, early on.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So, it'd be less than 2 years. And then I can bounce if she doesn't get in, and then she gets in, I have to stay at least for 4 more years. But also I figure if I get in, I have a chance to maybe hopefully bounce around and get a better job within the company, I guess, or institution.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
this one approved by your wife? Does she like this plan?
I know she's been pushing this forever and ever and ever. And then when I got, and remember, I have a friend on the inside there too, who's helped a lot, because that's how these jobs work. You can't get in places like this. So if I get in, that will be awesome. But she's pushed this forever. And then when I told her, you realize I'm taking a big pay cut from the no amount of money I already make. Actually, right. it's not a big pay cut from the amount of money I make now. It's a pay cut, which is, but not horrible, horrible, but it's a pay cut and I can't afford a pay cut. But compared to the job that's on the line, the other rehab job I'm talking to right now, which is more than I make now, then it becomes a big pay cut then. So
okay.
I'm thinking I may still end up doing overnights at rehab somewhere, or at least part-time overnights or something to that line to not affect my, or weekends. I might still end up doing something just to, because I'm going to have to make more money. It's not enough money to live. But in the end, no matter what, if it works out, I've made...
Yeah, what, saving a shitload of money.
Almost $250,000. So,
right.
Over 4 years. Yeah, so that's insane. But really cool, so I'm happy about that. That would be good.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hopefully that works out.
Yeah. But so much has to work. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I have to get through. I have to get in, which is almost impossible. Then when I get in, then she's got to get in. And all work out. I think my friend who's helping me there has a kid that goes there. And out of the $60,000 a year it is, she paid $600 last year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you have some, there's some weird fee you have to pay, but whatever that fee is, it's $600.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'll take that. And you're going to go to a good school. So, and also you can go there if you want to, if you're an employee.
Oh, you could take classes or start. You
know. Yeah, they say a lot of people do that. They go there and then they take classes or finish their degree or do whatever. But no real interest in doing that personally.
Right.
What I will try to do is work my way over to communications, because that is where I, if it comes to radio, I'm sure they have no one on campus with the amount of experience I have.
Right.
Yeah. Even though radio is a dying medium. Hopefully they're not teaching that still in colleges.
Yeah, I hope not.
Oh, my God. Digital, though. I can do digital, too. We're broadcast, podcast, broadcast pioneers is what we are, Jack.
That's right. Right.
Oh, what fun times. Have you had basketball and kids stuff? What's happening?
I've had kids stuff, but basketball now, Lucy has her first game with the varsity team tomorrow.
Oh, playoffs.
The playoff game.
Cool.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow. So that'll be interesting. I don't know how much she'll actually get to play, but I'm going to go to that and we'll see. And then they have a fucking million things going on, and I have to do that stupid Odyssey, the mind thing again.
Oh,
so I have to go to
station
on Saturday. So
I thought that was like once a year. It seems like you're doing that once a quarter.
No, it's once a year, but I always get roped into it, and so I have to. And they make you go to orientation every year, even though this will be like my fifth year doing it.
Also, I thought it was a little kid's. Oh, it's, is it just Bing now?
Yes, it is just Bing now, but you know it goes through college. But Lucy was too busy and luckily ducked out, and I tried to get Bing to duck out of it too, but he wouldn't.
Ah, fucking Bing.
Yeah. So I told her, I'm like, you have a million other things going on. Let's not do this. And he wanted to do it. And so.
Oh, my God. I saw your Facebook post the other day of Bing with his little cast on when he smashed his finger with a bowling ball.
He was so little.
I know. Poor kid. He got jacked up by a fucking bowling ball. I remember that.
How about the old star photos I've been finding? So my sister had this negative scanner, and she was done. She's like, do you want to use it? And I'm like, God, I have millions of negatives.
Yeah.
So I've just been kind of grabbing stuff and doing it, and I found those old, and I don't even remember why we shot those pictures. And, you know,
especially on
was
film.
That the day you got whacked?
Who knows what? I don't know, because I have my pants rolled up to like I'm walking around in a sumo fucking diaper.
I couldn't figure out what we were doing that day and why we were shooting pictures, but we did.
Oh my God, that was funny.
Who knows what other treasures I will find? You know the old radio shows. The last one I had finally got posted like a week ago, so I have no more old radio shows to post.
I have a stack of them somewhere.
Oh, really? Do you have more?
Yeah, I think not a lot, but I do have some shows. I wonder if there are overlaps at all, but I do have some
shows.
Yeah, I don't
know. Unless I have another spindle somewhere, I went through all the ones I had.
I'm off to Vegas next. I'm either going Thursday or Friday.
I should for volleyball?
Took off work. Yes, we have a volleyball tournament. And now we are like the chaperone.
Is it in the weekend?
Yeah, it's over the weekend, so I put in vacation days. So I'm off.
Okay. The long weekend, is that why they're doing it? The President's Day weekend? Or?
Oh, is it President? Yeah, so that would make sense. Yeah, because we're there. We're in Vegas still playing on Monday.
Yeah, that makes sense then.
So I am off Thursday morning, and Thursday is also Valentine's Day. Friday, we get to Vegas. Saturday. But now the way it looks, I wasn't going to go. My wife was going to go. We were trying to save money. But now we're the like chaperone parent. We're like the head parent of the team now since our...
Do you have to like stay on their floor and go everywhere with them?
Yes. And we also have to make breakfast for them in the morning in our room. Our room, everyone...
You have a...
Have a what?
Do you have a kitchen in your room?
No. So I have a griddle. So here's what I'm doing. We had a meeting, our first meeting about it last night. I am literally going to make pancakes. I'm going to make pancakes and eggs on an electric griddle in our room, and then we're going to buy fruit and that kind of stuff every day and just set up like a buffet in our room. And literally like 6 o'clock in the morning, because if you have the play, you've got to be on the court at 7. So I got to have breakfast for 10 or 11 girls ready by 6 a.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
That's kind of nuts. When I was at NAMM,
yeah,
we stayed at, I think it was Embassy Suites, and they had an awesome buffet breakfast every morning with an omelet bar. But they had, the weirdest thing was every day from 5 to 7, they had free happy hour.
Oh, I remember that. When I lived at an Embassy Suites in New York for a month and a half one time.
They've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, I do remember that, because I remember going and going to the happy hour sometimes in the afternoon and get fucked up going back to my room.
No, we would get off NAMM because we'd get off the floor at like 5:30 and we'd walk back to the hotel. I'd always be like, let's grab one drink down at the happy hour. And it's free drinks down in the lobby. It was weird.
Yeah, that is cool. You know who else has a badass version of that is the Ritz-Carlton. They have a floor that's got like a huge suite that's just a lounge, and you just go in there and sit and just drinks and snacks and shit. It's fucking cool. I've done that a number of times as well. Yeah, we're staying at the Excalibur, and it's no choice of ours, the tournament picture hotel, and assigns you rooms. And it could be any hotel in Vegas, and we are at Excalibur.
Where is the actual tournament at?
Mandalay Bay, which is going to be nice and haunted.
Yeah, that's next door. That's at least easy.
Yeah, it's next door and has, but that's where the Vegas shooting was.
Oh, so did you see they released the final report on that and came up with absolutely no motive?
Yeah, I did see it. People are pissed. Like, so it wasn't they were holding back on us. They have nothing.
But there has to be something. You can't tell me the guy didn't have any computer searches or anything. They were just like, we don't know. We can't figure it out. He had no political, no, you know, moral. Like, it just seems like Vegas wants this buried, and they're just going to cover. I mean, like, I don't know what his motivation was, but there had to be something.
But it wasn't anti-Vegas, because remember, he was going to do it in Chicago. And he was in Vegas for like a month having a great old time up until he did it.
He lived right outside of Vegas. No, he loved gambling. You're right. It wasn't anti-Vegas. But why was he targeting concerts? You know what I mean? Like, because the other one was Lollapalooza in Chicago, so it's like, yeah, there had to be motivation.
He wasn't racist. It wasn't like he was going to a, you know, Latin concert or a rap concert or something like that. He was shooting country music people.
And remember the early explanation that he was going broke? And it ends up he wasn't. He had a shitload of money. He was fine.
Yeah. No, that whole thing, he's the BTK killer. There's no fucking reason. Like, that guy, I think, has terrified the FBI.
But also, Vegas shut up everybody around that. They made that security guard disappear back to Mexico. You notice his brother doesn't say anything anymore, or his girlfriend? I swear that they were paid off, because why did his brother, who couldn't keep his mouth shut in the days after, all of a sudden disappear off the face of the earth?
Yeah. That's Vegas paying them. Now, I agree with you. Vegas, the cover-up is on the Vegas casinos wanting this shit just to go away.
Yeah.
Also, they may have paid off. I don't think they paid off the FBI to not find a motive. The FBI has to do their job and protect the American people. But at the same time, I think they did a lot in having the FBI just kind of keep it down.
And they own that sheriff. Remember, he cut his thing. Like, you could tell that city, they own that sheriff.
All those casinos own whatever they want to do there, they're going to do there.
Yep. So, I don't know. When I read that final report, I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I did see that, and I was like, this is fucking uneventful.
Okay, and then the other story that I think is bullshit in my two is that there's still no details coming out on the Chris Burrows thing.
Yeah.
Hotel with. Like, how come no No one has delved in to find out who the guy in the hotel with them was.
KCAL should do it. Or KTTV.
Any of the news outlets should. If it was anybody else, we would know who was in the hotel with them.
He was there having gay sex with another man, and they were partying, and he died. Like, we would know the gory details.
Through the you know, they would have the Facebook posts of whoever the guy in the room. Like, you'd know everything about that guy.
Yeah. It's...
like, you know the airplane that crashed on Super Bowl in Orange County?
Yeah.
I was already reading today. They had already pulled weird Facebook posts that guy had made. You know, like, everybody had already gone through and had a shitload of details of weird shit on that guy. He had a fake police badge with him, and, you know, like, there was all kinds of weird shit on that guy. But they're already digging and finding stuff. Yet nobody's digging into the Chris Burrows story. And I feel like the Vegas thing is just covered up by Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas thing is. And you're going to hear, you know, we heard nothing of it while it was going on. Like, I'm telling you, the most I ever learned about the Vegas thing was on a YouTube video.
Right.
I actually showed his dead body on the YouTube video.
It was... also, they never address, like, if there was not motivation, let's say, there was a bigger plan. Remember, he had shit in his car, explosives and shit, like he was going to do this shootout and then go someplace else.
Yeah.
Remember that? The car loaded with shit like that so he could take off.
But I wonder why he ended up killing himself. Did he realize they were coming for him? Or
they said in the thing that was his thing, though, that he wanted to shoot himself, and that's why he had all the cameras. And when he knew they were on to him, you know, after he shot through the door and got the security guard and he could see the cops coming with his camera, he took himself out.
Yeah, and then after they were worried about booby traps and stuff like that, literally, I think it said on the video, it was like an hour after the first shots were fired when they breached that room finally.
Yeah, no, it took him a while.
He was long dead by the time they got in there.
I read that recap. I didn't mention anything about if they found any idea of what he was planning to do after that, because he did have, in the big scheme, there was a plan further than that, because he had shit ready in the car to go.
Fuck. Yeah, I don't remember that. And still, no one ever has ever even, I've never even heard a theory on why he did it, let alone, you know, this is what it was, or he was searching, like you said, he was searching flights to Panama or some shit like that. It was...
right.
Yeah, no, he did this, and here's him bringing all the stuff.
I mean, I've never seen anything more blatant than when they had that security guard just do Ellen softball questions, and then they flew him out of the country.
I bet you he is a very rich man, wherever he is right now.
I bet he is.
Man. Yeah, that's crazy. All right, Jack, I say we wrap it up, pack it up, pack it in while the getting's good. We haven't had a glitch yet.
No. Yeah.
All right. Let's pack it up. Next week, we'll have another show, because we'll do a show before I go to Vegas.
Awesome.
And we'll be good. So, everybody, enjoy your week. We'll talk to you next week. Till then, peace out.
Awesome.
Goodbye.